Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. Welcome to another episode of the Language Facilitation Helpline podcast, and thank you for tuning in today. The fastest results come when you enjoy the process of language facilitation. Hello, everybody, all you language facilitators out there. Welcome back to another episode on the Waves of Communication YouTube channel. My name is Marcy Melzer, and I'm an intuitive speech-language pathologist and language facilitation coach and consultant. And I use my platform, wavesofcommunication.com, to equip and empower parents, caregivers, speech therapists, nannies, anybody who wants to work with children who are not talking yet. It doesn't matter why they're not talking yet. I consider them all late talking because natural spoken language facilitation, which is what I teach, is the tool that I have found proven through working with thousands of families around the world how this works. So, what we're going to be talking about today, I know everybody's very excited about this topic, is verbal stims, echolalia, and self-talk. And yes, we are definitely going to be digging into that. The reason that I am talking about it, because this is my platform here serves as a Q&A. I do these videos to answer the questions that you as parents have surrounding being a parent or caregiver of a child who's not talking yet, who's late talking. And when you know what to do, I believe you're going to be so effective in facilitating spoken language that you'll share the message about it. You'll share the word. And I want to make sure that you are equipped and empowered, that you're doing it well. So every episode that I do on YouTube, you can consider a Q&A. If you have a question on this video or any video that I do, you're welcome to post it. I might answer it on this video or I might answer it on a future video. And for example, today I am digging into a topic based on a question that I got on a previous video. Let me show you. This was a video that I did last week about stimming and using stimming behaviors as a tool. And so what Adil said, she said, this was such a great video. If you haven't seen it, you can see it in my replay, but watch it soon because it's going to move over to the member within the next 30 days. So watch it now if you want to see it. And Adil said, this was such a great video, stimming as a tool. Could you go deeper, do a deeper dive on verbal stims, words and sounds, in the coming days, which is what we're going to be doing today. I feel like they are hooks into my kids' inner world. And so Adil is correct about all that. And that's what we're going to be digging into today. So before, though, we do that, I just want to remind you really quick about something. I don't know if you've been watching on the platform or if you've been getting my newsletter, but I have been doing these interactive workshops. And these workshops have been such a hit that I am adding more days. So I just want to let you know that this workshop is available. It's only $47, and I've added more dates here so you can see, in addition to the ones that are already scheduled on the website, I'm adding an additional online day. So if you missed the one I did last weekend, don't worry. I'm coming back to do it again on April 23rd, 2023 from 9 to 1 Eastern. And if you happen to live in Morocco, I'm going to be doing another in-person workshop in Morocco on the 29th of April, 2023. And the reason that I'm adding them is because the testimonials were so amazing. I know there's a lot on this slide. Let me review with you really quickly what people are saying, how empowered they are by this interactive workshop. It's a 4-hour experience. Marcy's workshop is above all so deeply motivating. There are many ways ways that caregivers can get discouraged and disconnected from their power as a natural language facilitator. Even if you're reading the books, even if you're using the stuff, there are so many ways to get disconnected. And my holistic approach takes that into account. Into account your struggle, addresses the need to rally and be empowered by the knowledge that I'm providing. And that's what I do in every video. And this is like a YouTube live on steroids. This is this pink one says it was a step-by-step guide. And that's what I provide, a step-by-step guide filled with real examples and practical tips to get us going with confidence on this language facilitation journey. The purple one here says, overall, she provides a clear vision by creating engaging visuals, testimonials, and workbooks so that both the caregivers and the lay talkers can have fun and stay on the path to spoken language together. And it also says in this green one, I like how she focuses on the abilities of the kid instead of just labeling them. I love her concept of helping the child reach its fullest potential by providing nothing but more time, energy, and love, something every parent of a lay talker wants to do. And then this other one says watching the real life examples and videos help them so much to relate to the lay talker, because that's what we need to do as you work through. So here are the dates one more time in April. These are all the dates available just this month. More might be added and all of that's going on. So, and also remember, if you are in a workshop, you have the opportunity to book an exclusive 60-minute consultation with me. So thanks for the little promo moment I had there. It was so good. The workshop was so good. The 4 hours flew by. I probably could have talked for 10 more. I have so many great examples now from my travels of these language facilitators. And in fact, on this video, I'm going to share some of them with you so you get a little taste of what it's like to be part of that workshop. And maybe it'll entice you to join us on the next one. All right, enough of all of that. Let's get into this content that we're going to be talking about today, verbal stims. Now, everyone uses one or more verbal stim strategies for regulation and problem solving. Everyone, including you, including me, including every single late talker, including every little chatterbox, everyone uses this self-talk. It just sounds different and looks different for every person. Now, we all learn to use this self-talk functionally through our own personal experience. And remember, with natural language facilitation, we are facilitating personal experiences to learn spoken language through. So remember, just like the other video that was about stimming as a tool, we're going to be using these echolalia self-talk experiences as a tool for you to be able to work with and facilitate the evolution of that spoken language. So remember, everyone uses it. So here are the three kinds of self-talk: common self-talk, practice speech, echolalia, and gestalt speech. And so these are when, you know, you see the differences here. Common self-talk is when we say the words that one wants to hear. I wish someone would tell me these things. So we tell ourselves. And those things are composed of speech remembered from previous experiences. Now, practice speech, saying the words and phrases as a method of self-rehearsal. And that's comprised of speech that one intends to use more in the future. I got to practice this. I'm going to try to use this again in the future. And then echolalia and gestalt speech as an organized whole idea of a phrase or a word with a lot of intonation or something like that. And that's composed of intentional memorized chunks of speech. So when we think about this idea of self-talk, stim behavior as a tool, we want to remember this concept that spoken language self-develops. This is the idea of natural spoken language facilitation, from the choice to experiment with new spoken language examples that one finds effective. So if I hear something somebody says, That's what this means. If I hear something, a phrase, a tagline, a thing that somebody says, and I like it enough, I am going to include it into the spoken language that I habitually use. If I like it enough and I find it effective. So I'm going to try it out. And if I find it really effective, then I'm going to use it more. So here's the first question you have to ask yourself before we move into how you're going to use this stuff. What is your child choosing to listen to? Because they learned this verbal behavior, this verbal stim, this verbal communication behavior, even if it's not speech, it is verbal communication behavior, vocal communication behavior. If it's not using words, what is it that they're choosing to listen to? Because a lay talker's self-talk is reflective of their speech exposure. They're going to say things that they hear. Remember, because of this concept at the top, we use things we like that we've heard, that we try, that we integrate. You get it? So never ever stop or shut down vocalizations unless they are intentionally harmful to your child or other. Now, intentionally harmful means someone, you know, a child could say something that the other person perceives as harmful. Like they walk up to a person that is overweight and they say, "You're fat," right? Which is, that person can perceive that as offensive. But if you've got a lay talker who is stuck at labeling as a stage of expressive language, all they're doing is stating the reality. And remember, it is that person's perception of what the child said that is injured here. And they don't understand your child. So if you chastise or shut down your child when they're just stating their personal reality, not with intention to malice or hurt anybody else, they're just saying what's on their mind, which is what you want, right? As a spoken language facilitator, previously, this child might have touched that person's belly and pushed on them or squeezed it if they saw extra, you know, baggage on that person, instead of saying, "You're fat," which actually is an evolution, right? It would be mortifying, even more mortifying, if your lay talker walked up to somebody and said, "You're fat," versus they walked up and said, you know, like this, or, you know, made some big nonverbal gesture, because even these nonverbal communications are more impactful, all right? So let's look more. Remember, never shut these things down, because this self-talk is helping the late talker regulate and focus on learning. And that's what we use those other stim behaviors for, is to get the child in the neuroplasticity language facilitation zone so they can learn from it. And their speech is going to evolve naturally through practice speech in a similar way to foreign language learning, or like what I said, you hear things you like, you're going to use them. All right, so let's get into number one, five strategies to facilitate the shift from self-talk vocalization to connected functional speech. I know, 12 minutes in, I'm finally getting to the strategies. Thank you for participating, but you need to have the background so that you can use these strategies. That's why I'm touting this workshop, because once you go to the workshop, these videos look so much more, they mean so much more to you. All right, let's get into the strategies. The first strategy here is to always acknowledge the real messages. You have to use your intuitive connection. You can't just judge these things by their cover. You can't judge them at face value. You can't judge what they're saying. You can't judge any of that kind of stuff. You just need to see in the child's brain behind the messages.
You want some TV? Okay, Aaron, Mama can give you some TV now because it's afternoon, no? Aaron can get some TV time now, okay?
Yeah. Mama will give you. I know it's your TV time. You want Mama to give you TV?
Yes, I will.
Boom, 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 boom.
Okay, so in that last one, you heard Lisa doing some significant facilitation to dig in. We knew Aaron wanted TV. He didn't say TV. He said other things. She said the message that he's going to say. All right, here's number two. Number two is to slow down and repeat yourself using accurate words and phrases. And the reason that I chose this video to share with you for this slide is because I'm not talking to anybody. I don't care if anybody's engaged or repeating or imitating. I'm just giving examples of what I'm thinking about while I'm playing with this toy, and I'm using slow, repetitive phrases with accurate words and phrases in full sentences to describe the experience that I am having in my brain, all my feelings, all my excitement, all my thoughts about this simple little toy. And it's why it's got to be easy, effective, and familiar words. These kids, any lay talker who's older than 2 years old knows everything that I am saying. So listen in.
Oh, but stop, boy. You're gonna fall off the end. Turn around so you can keep riding. He likes to ride so much. He wants to keep riding. Go, 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 go. He's going so fast. Stop! He knows where the edge is and he stopped so he can turn around. Now he's going to ride very slowly. Let's go slow, slow. He's pedaling very slowly and slowly and slowly and slowly till he gets to the edge. Stop, boy! Turn around. Now the boy is going to pedal very fast. Go, 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 go.
Okay, so now you can see how that's the repetitive, super slow speech that it's going to allow this late talker the chance to catch it, right? Because that's the idea here with these strategies is these late talkers are projecting. They're projecting. That's what vocal stim is. They might be projecting to you. They might be projecting to themselves. They might be projecting doing whatever they're doing. They're just speech is coming out, right? And you don't know what it means unless you do those first things. You really dig in. Oh, because you know these kids when they do a certain thing or say a certain thing, even if it's not real speech. That's what the Gestalt language learners do. They start singing Old MacDonald when they want to eat because you let them watch the Old MacDonald video at mealtime. That's a gestalt kind of stim, but you know what it means, right? It means something complete. It doesn't mean Old MacDonald had a farm at all. It means, hey, my tummy's kind of feeling hungry. Are you cooking lunch yet? I mean, and all the kid's doing is singing Old MacDonald had a farm, right? In Aaron's case, it was the time for TV. He showed up in the area and then he started making noises to let people know, hey, I've got messages to share. Somebody needs to listen to me. Somebody needs to understand me. And it's real things that these kids are saying. And when you're not connected with the child to understand what those messages are, you're just going to go back to shutting them down, which is going to let them not stop. But you can see in these video examples how I'm talking. There's more talking from the people than there is from the lay talker. It's always how it's going to be with these verbal stims. When they're making noise, you have to also chime in with them. You can't shut it down. We want more activity and more talking. Let's move into the next ones. Here we go. So with number three, that's what I was just talking about now. When you hear a child playing with and experimenting, right? Because that's what they're doing. They're experimenting. They've heard something fun that you might have said in your fun facilitation, and they're trying it, and they're seeing what kind of reaction can they get from you. And when you join them, when they prompt you to join them, which is what this little guy's doing, Charlie and Haley, when you see this going on, then they'll keep joining. And you've created a whole cycle. Stanley Greenspan talks about this as this back and forth exchange with a child instead of shutting down their speech, facilitating more connection, cooperation, and listening, because what she does is she uses the connection and then she expands it. So let's watch and listen.
Ba-ba-ba-ba. Baby, little tiny Bubba. The Bubba on the bus says, wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah. Wah, wah, wah. The Bubba on the bus says, wah, wah, wah. All the way to school.
So what's cool about that is that you could hear how these kids were, you know, even all three of them, once she got really exciting and she started to expand and sort of talk about it and turn it into a song. Bubba, the Bubba on the bus, because that's what he's like, Bubba, 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 Bubba. It could be evolving into sing about the Bubba on the bus, Mom, right? It was supposed to be a longer phrase that Charlie doesn't have accessible to yet, but she was listening. Haley was listening. And so because she worked with whatever he was saying, whether it was stim, whether it was intentional, whether it was for her, whether it wasn't, she turned it into an intentional connected experience so that she could expand it and get these kids' attention. And they were all three eyeballs glued on her with the best eye contact and listening ever. So remember, if you're trying to evolve this stim, verbal, you know, echolalia, repetitive speech, those phrases when they're asking questions and you're asking questions in response to their questions and they're questioning and, you know, all those things that are not real speech, but they sound like talking. It might be pre-programmed things. It might be memorized things, all of that stuff. Is work. This is the messy part, right? Where we see all kinds of stuff coming out of these kids. And if you judge it instead of digging into it and using it and modeling more things, and all it really takes is this nice language facilitation talk. The right words are the words that are about this situation. The right way is repetitive, easy, slow, natural, and in full complete sentences that the child can evolve to, right? And the right time is right now. If things are chaotic and things are going crazy, just slow down your speech to help the child regulate. This natural, repetitive kind of talking helps kids listen and focus and regulate. And if they're not saying it, go, 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 do, 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 bang, 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 la, 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 la. If they're not doing it on their own and you start doing it, you project that regulation onto them. Just like they project the chaos onto you, you reflect and project the regulated, regular, natural, true, accurate speech that you want to see in those moments. Just hold to it. It's just like in the STEM thing. If you want your child to join you and play with you, you can't go and change their comfort zone. You have to reach into their comfort zone and invite them to join you in yours. It's the same as happening for verbal vocalization. If it's singing, if it's la la laing, if it's uhing, you know. I have a video, I didn't share it here, where Aaron is doing, playing the same video over and over and over and over and over again. And I just finally go, oh, I don't want to hear it anymore. I started using stim-like behavior in my speech. It's in that video. You can see, oh, I don't want to see it again, again, again. And he's looking right at me and listening. Wow, that's an interesting way to tell people you want them to stop. Here, you can make a noise to say something like that. Oops, looks like my internet's a little bit glitchy. Let's keep moving forward here because we've got a few more tips to share. Come on. I'm playing with my internet. I don't know why it does this periodically. Come on. Hang in there, everybody. Where's my stuff? There. Oh, wait. It won't change layouts because the internet's being glitchy. Here we go. Let's try. Okay, so this, sorry about all that, everybody. That's what happens with live. All right, so remember, I'm taking questions too, if you're watching live. The fourth strategy that I have for you is to recast these vocalizations into phrases. So again, Erin has a lot of vocalizations, and we've just been through a whole semi-structured routine where he's been through three sessions where he's come back and requested another gummy. He uses these vitamin gummies as a sweet treat for after he eats his food. And let's watch Lisa as she interacts with Erin.
Gummies? Huh? Show me. Finish, gummy. It's in your tummy. Finish. Now, Mama, give you tomorrow. Okay? Mama, mm-hmm. Give you tomorrow now, okay?
Okay, so the fifth strategy that I have for you is to connect and teach new functional language, because obviously that's the whole goal here, is to get these kids listening to good ideas, new things that they can learn to say, and you experiment with them while they play and interact with you. So while you're talking, you want to review experiences, discuss plans, share ideas, and involve the late talker and plan prep and cleanup for activities. This is just an activity. Erin is not very cooperative as far as like involving in cleanup and those things, because you can teach new functional language around anything. But Erin has chosen to connect with me at this snuggle time in bed, and he does a really good job listening in this environment, which is why I chose to use this environment to reach in with him, because the place where you work helps with that regulation. If Erin feels regulated, like we've worked with all the previous stims, he needs to be in the bed, he needs to have the blanket, he needs to be in the dark, he needs to not look at me, all those things to help his neuroplasticity get going. I've already got those integrated. Now we're going to start working with the talking.
Duck, cat. Cats give you kiss. Duck give you kiss. Hi, guys. Let's go under. Under. Cat and duck are under. You have them. Quack, quack. You're making his mouth say quack, quack. Quack, quack. Squish it. It's squishy. Look at this silly cat. It's squishy. I like to squish it. Quack, quack. You squish his mouth.
Okay, so you can see through these strategies that the most important thing that I wanted to say, and I didn't put it on a slide, I guess, that I just came to me just now, that it was really important for me to mention to you right now, is that when you are with a child who's not talking yet, and they use these verbal stims with you, it's really, really important that you don't talk down to them because they're not using speech. Remember, these messages that they're using, that they're thinking behind even very basic, I mean, it could be the most basic vocalization, but when they do it in a pattern, they're using some repetition, they're doing some physical movement at the same time, flapping their hand or looking sideways or whatever. Remember, they are trying to bridge nonverbal, completely nonverbal, crying, whacking you, dragging you in the other room, no sound at all, visual communication into something that is spoken language. And you don't create that overnight. First, the sound has to be included. And then the sound takes a pattern and it takes rhythm and it takes shape. It's like a big lump of clay at first, this behavior. But the message you see is always very high level. The expression is rudimentary, but the message is like in the cloud, super intelligent. The child might be experimenting with physics. They could be testing you to see where you are. They could be waiting on purpose, knowing that you hide the remote in a new place every day, waiting in the other room, looking sideways, watching for you to do that. And you think that they're just stimming in the corner, right? They could be using these behaviors to work and manipulate you. Because remember, this is the experience that a lot of these kids have. People talk down to them. They think that they cannot understand when they're speaking around them. And they talk about, around, through, against, judgment, all those things are happening. And your lay talker's vocal expression is going to reflect all of that. If they're feeling anxious, unregulated, they're always going to slide back into the nonverbal stuff. Or if even if they are talking, they could be, maybe they evolved through all this and you're looking back at the time that your child was only using Old McDonald, and now they're saying cookie, you know, maybe they're really using real words and they're more applicable, or it's more appropriate, or it's a little bit more like the spoken language that you want. This is what we're talking about here. The 1% improvement every day. If you are seeing that and working with the workbook, you should know what caused it. It was something you did. It was one of these five things that I shared with you today. You reached into the child's world. You understood their message from their perspective with their feelings and their heart. And you engaged with that message appropriately, as if the child was talking as well as you and I do. And then now they're empowered. They're motivated to try more because they're experimenting. They're going to do like Charlie did. If you go bam, 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 whatever she did, and then see like, well, how can I contribute to that? When they're regulated and engaged and connected, they will, just like Charlie did. Even Aaron didn't want, you know, would use such physical communication before his mom started to just explain everything to him, everything she's doing before, during, and after. And when you give this child credit for being an intelligent, actively intentional communicator, because they are projecting messages 24/7. They're not lumps. They're not animals. They're not robots. They're real, real people with real, real ideas and feelings in their heart. And they are doing their darndest with these vocal stims, echolalia, and self-talk to project them to the world. Why? Because they want people to hear them. They want people to understand them. They want people to connect with them. But they don't want people to judge them. They don't want people to shut them down. And they don't want people to change them. They don't want people to try to make them do things or force them to do it your way instead of my way. They are actively evolving their own spoken language through these tools of self-talk, echolalia, and just singing songs over and over again, saying what you said, trying things out, experimentation. And remember, we all use self-talk. If your child, here's another thing about self-talk that I just remembered. If your child is doing a lot of self-talk where they are giving themselves praise, good job, you can do it. Wow, nice work. If you hear a lot of that from your child, right? It means, I know this is, you're going to think it's backwards, but you think they're feeling really good about themselves if they say those things. But the reality is they're saying those things to themselves because they are not hearing it enough from you. The one who's watching this video, not their teachers, not their therapists. You can't change any of those people. But you yourself as this child's parent, caregiver, the one who loves them. If you hear them saying things like, you can do it. You did a good job. Yay. They're clapping for themselves when they do those things. And you're busy asking for a high five when they do a good job, or you're making them, you're forcing them to say please and thank you. You're forcing them to give namaste. You're forcing them to give high fives to the neighbors, right? You're prompting this expression, these expressional behaviors that you want to see in this child, and they're in the corner, la 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 la. Okay, that's a disconnect that's going to take you off your path. And that's again why my workshop is going to really help so many of you. Because if you're not staying with the workbook, I even just got a text from Haley this morning who was sending me videos about how, you know, life gets busy and you forget to dig into these things. And then all of a sudden they start to increase, right? If you're seeing an increase in this echolalia and vocal stim, that means that your child is not getting enough time to listen to you. Let me show you this. Remember, your child is learning from the speech that they are exposed to at least 2 to 3 hours a day. So the stuff that they hear a little bit. So when we talk about, should you stop letting them listen to the videos and stuff? You can never take a child off of it full time, but you can decrease it to an hour a day. And an hour a day or less is not going to impact them long term. But 2 or 3 hours a day, just like if you are facilitating 2 to 3 hours a day, and then you're sending your child to ABA for 6 hours a day, which one is more time for your child's education? If you are facilitating 2 to 3 hours a day and your child's watching videos for 6 hours a day, or even 2 to 3 hours a day, and they're already in the habit of watching videos, your speech will be less interesting than the videos. They will go more towards the thing that they know now. Okay? They already know this behavior. They already developed this language. They developed it, everybody. They're not going to change because you think they need to change. They're going to change when they learn something better. That's what all of this is about, right? So how much of this 2 to 3 hours a day is coming from you? And what you need to do, and what I coach in this workbook and the workshops and on every single video, because it's not rocket science, but it does take effort. You have to be the one to attract active listening 2 to 3 hours every single day, not to the same stuff that your child is hearing, but to better speech than they're using now. That's why you can't talk down to them. You have to be providing, if they're already projecting, you need to project something better that they're going to stop talking, listen to, choose to pick up, and use in their own spoken language. This is facilitation. That's the difference, actually, between facilitation and speech therapy, as we are motivating, activating the neuroplasticity for this child to develop the spoken language independently of your effort through your facilitation. It's through their effort that they're going to get better 1% every day. Look at this next one. Offer the right language models for the late talker to practice and learn, right? Better than what they're getting now. Your 2 to 3 hours needs to be better than the 2 to 3 hours that they are getting now. You need to assist the late talker as they understand how to convey their visual ideas. They got the movies running in their head 24/7 because they don't have spoken language. They don't know how to think through a thought in words. They think through experiences with the movies in their head. And it comes out with whatever they have access to. And if all they have access to is la 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 cheat cheat la 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 cheat cheat, and they listen to that over and over again, guess what their speech is gonna sound like? La 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 la. If it's only 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3 that they listen to, guess what their speech is gonna sound like? It's definite, it's a direct reflection of what otherwise, how else would they learn it, right? Think about that. So also look here. you need to support them as they experiment with new spoken language through all the levels of spoken language development, not just getting them talking, but helping them expand. And so remember, you have the option here to join me for training and become a spoken language facilitator, where you can learn how to do this, where we have fun every day when we connect together, when we are successful, when we accomplish jobs as a team, as a cooperative member of your family. And if you feel like you don't have time to connect with your own child for 2 to 3 hours a day, then you have to be very, very careful about where else they are spending their time in that time that you're working or watching your other kids or doing whatever you're doing, that you have to give away your time with this child. If you're giving it to a device, guaranteed they're not going to develop spoken language. You need to listen to people talking, right? So they could be talking to the most eloquent chef learning how to cook souffles with beautiful spoken language, but they're not going to learn spoken language from that person. They might pick up a, you know, bam from, you know, or a woohoo, or they might pick up a few little expressions like that. But that speech is too fast and too complicated and too far above where your child is. Plus, it doesn't connect to their personal experience. Incomplete. Think about, do you watch every single video of every single movie of every single thing that you watch? Does the whole thing resonate with you? No. That's why these kids choose the 1 30-second bit or the 2 minute bit that they like to watch and watch that over and over and over again. See, these kids are smart. They know how to hack the system, and they are using their exposure to whatever spoken language they can get their ears on, right? Whatever resonates, whatever feels good, whatever matches with their life. That's what they're going to use to move forward and help themselves develop. So, okay, everybody, that's what we did. We talked about verbal stims, echolalia, and self-talk. Don't forget to check out this other video that I did last week on stimming, a symptom or a behavior or a tool. And one more little thing I need to share with you or ask you to do. I am literally 3 subscribers away, only 3 from 5K subscribers on YouTube. Please, thank you for sure to all of you who have already subscribed. And, you know, to get to 5,000 subscribers with these super long videos and have you all pay attention and watch through them and deal with my internet glitches and my interviews and all of the stuff that I do to bring you, I'm just doing my best here to help you out. And the fact that it's resonating, the fact that more people are subscribing and the subscribers are going up and up and up and up every day, and the fact that we got close to this 5K so quickly, I know we're going to hit it by the end of the day today so that I can go on my trip to India and Morocco and tell everybody I've got 5,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel. Because I tell everybody, if I'm in the taxi, if I'm in the shop, if I'm anywhere, I share the word about natural spoken language facilitation, and I hope you do too. So share a video with a friend, share a concept that you learned. Even if you don't share the video, share an idea about intuitive connection, about language facilitation talk, about swapping prompting. And the big news is next week while I'm traveling, you're going to get a pre-recorded video. I'm going to be on a plane, literally. So, or doing a workshop actually on the 6th. So what you're going to get is a recorded video from me. It's going to be the Swapping the Prompting Challenge 2.0. I did that first video 3-4 years ago now, and because it is the foundation of language facilitation, and things have changed. The platform's evolved. People have evolved. We've got post-pandemic situations going on now, so we're going to have a 2.0 version of Swapping the Prompting that focuses on virtual autism and these stimming behaviors and all that kind of stuff that you're going to see, and how to work with those things in a 7-day challenge that, like I said, the current Swapping the Prompting Challenge is changing people's lives in days. And I want you to have the same experience. So stay tuned to the channel. if you're subscribed, you'll see that video when it comes out. So definitely hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell. The shorts are amazing. Christina's finding some gems from videos. With 600 videos, there's gems buried in there. With your membership, you get to see all 600. I'm doing everything I can to make this easy for you. So please join me, and I will see you all on the next video, coming to you from a foreign land. Bye for now, everybody, and thanks for joining me. With a whole range of Waves of Communication resources, from free content to customized coaching, you now have access to everything you need to elevate spoken language to infinite success. You are welcome to get your journey started with my 11-week language facilitation Journey to Speech workbook. You can access this workbook and all of the language facilitation resources on my website, wavesofcommunication.com.